You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen, Director of the Respect Life Office for the Archdiocese of Chicago. We have an exciting show for you this morning, and I am joined in studio by Ray Pingoy, our Youth Outreach Coordinator. Welcome, Ray.
Good morning, everyone.
I am well caffeinated this morning, and you could just ask Brian because I'm like, raw! and that's partially the excitement might be from sitting in traffic for almost 2 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Yay.
Coffee does that to you, and also traffic does that.
Yeah.
It does.
And I didn't come from that far away. Sometimes it's better just to come later.
It is, yeah, to let the traffic pass, but yeah. I'm used to that with Indiana, but, you know, it's all right. It's okay.
It's okay.
Today. Yeah.
It's okay. But we're here. You know, we're safe. We're sound.
The sun's out.
The sun's out. There's no blizzard like
no
last
blizzard.
Month.
Yep.
You know, that our show was canceled.
That's right, yeah.
And we had snow drifts. I was spending like days trying to get the snow drifts away from all the various doors to my house.
Yeah, dig the cars out too.
4 feet high, almost as tall as me, since I'm so short. But so during the first half of the show, I'm really excited about this. We have Jason Evert. We used to say nationally renowned chastity speaker, but he's now, I guess, world renowned.
International.
You know, Ray, Jason, and I will discuss Jason's upcoming chastity speaking tour in the Archdiocese of Chicago. And that's in the first half. In the second half, we'll be joined by Vicki Thorne, founder of Project Rachel and the National Office of Post-Abortion Reconciliation and Healing, and Erica Latham, Director of Clinical Ethics for Resurrection Healthcare. I think they're one of the largest Catholic networks, hospital networks in the Archdiocese. They're the trusted source for healthcare in the Catholic Church. We will be discussing with them an in-depth seminar that's coming up soon on post-abortion aftermath, and it's being held at Resurrection Medical Center in Chicago. But before we get to our first guest, I would like to say, I'd like Ray to actually say a few words briefly about how our March for Life trip went, because we missed the update in the February show.
That's right. Yeah, I'd like to give a shout out to all the people that went, all the schools and parishes. There's about there was about 300 youth, that's including teachers and students themselves and chaperones that came with us. And of course, there's about 60 college students that joined us. And we had 8 busloads. Can you believe that? That's amazing. 8 busloads heading to D.C. I want to advertise now that 2012, January 20th to 24th, the March for Life pilgrimage 2012 coming up. So save the date. We're hoping to get more buses down there. But again, it was a great pilgrimage to Washington D.C. this year. Again, 8 busloads. So praise God.
You keep saying 2012. Is it because it's the end of the world or something?
Oh yeah, the movie. Yeah. I hope not.
No.
Well,
I'm kidding. I mean, the way you kept saying 2012.
It sounds exciting when you say 2012.
Right? I know. Can you believe it? It's already going to be 2012 next
year. We're on the third month of this year already.
You're already talking about it.
Did this year just start?
All right. any other interesting facts about the March for Life?
Yeah, there were, like usual, it's not really broadcasted all over in the nation, but there's more than 200,000 pro-lifers that stood up for life, and it's growing. It's growing. It grows every year, and I love seeing young people seeing young people stand up for what they believe in, standing up for life.
And I think the Cardinal was really happy to be there because he was telling jokes half the
time. Yeah, he was, yeah.
I haven't seen him that way in a very long time.
He was telling jokes.
I think he was so relaxed to be around all those young people. Yeah. And it was, it gave him hope. Hope for the future. And he wasn't getting complaints. He was getting support from these young people. And when, you know, us adults, I think we complain to him all the time. you know, people who work in the parishes and stuff. So he hears it all. But they were giving him that love and support, you know. And they admire the Cardinal. And they felt like they belonged in the church. And that's the thing. If we can teach the young people that and show them that they do belong in the church and the church values them, mm-hmm. wow. I mean, just think about it. And with the Year of the Youth coming up. Yeah. So, and I don't want to go on and leave Jason on the phone there. But yeah, thanks, Ray. You know, that's it. I'm glad that you were able to give a little update, a summary on the March for Life. If people are interested in attending next year, what should they do?
Well, first off, they should save the date where it's going to be another year of starting off on Friday, and we're going to get back here in Chicago Tuesday morning. So it's the same as this year. So just save the date, and then also if they want, they can email me or call us in the office. 312-534-5355 and get more information about that. But I'm just kind of formulating all the other details, the bus and, mm-hmm. and the hotel and everything. So it's coming up. Just save the date.
Well, you did a great job. Thank you.
Praise God.
And our first guest, like I was saying, is Jason Evert, that world-renowned, internationally known chastity speaker. We're really excited. Well, Jason, he earned his master's degree in theology and undergraduate degrees in counseling and theology with a minor in philosophy at Franciscan University in Steubenville. And he is the author of many books. Some of them you might recognize, If You Really Loved Me, Answering Jehovah's Witnesses, Love, Sex, and Babies, and Pure Love, which challenges young people to embrace the virtue of chastity. And I think he even has a new book that we're going to talk about, How to Find Your Soulmate Without Losing Your Soul. I could have used that when I was in college. Jason speaks at seminars, participates in debates, and responds to thousands of questions about Catholicism from people around the globe. And Jason is a full-time apologist with Catholic Answers, the nation's largest lay-run apostolate for apologetics and evangelization. And he speaks to over 100,000 teens per year. Welcome, Jason.
Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. We are really excited that you're coming to Chicago very soon here.
Yes, yeah, and all the parishes are too. We're very excited.
And we have a waiting list too. So in terms of future speaking tours, we probably have already filled up the next tour.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to coming back. Mary Louise Curry has done just a fantastic job in past years of lining up so many schools and parishes to hear the presentation.
Yeah,
so.
And actually, I don't know if you know, but she has retired or resigned to be a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah, good for her.
Yeah, yeah. So she's doing that, and Mitch went on to another position, and we have Ray Pingoy, and he's doing a wonderful job. So I know that you will, you guys will definitely get along when you're here. Now, you know, we've been preparing very diligently, you know, with this, you know, with the school contacts, and everybody's really excited about you coming, and you know, so we're geared up, they're geared up. But I wanted to first start out with that new book of yours, and that's How to Find Your Soulmate Without Losing Your Soul, correct?
Yes.
And is this book geared toward women?
Yes, it is. The subtitle's 21 Secrets for Women.
I didn't see that part. I saw an email, and I didn't see that other part for women. But what inspired you to write this book?
Well, after doing the chastity presentations, we'll tell the students, hey, if you guys need to hang out and talk, we'll be here for you. And I remember giving that invitation at a high school once in New York, and the students formed a line that was 7 hours long.
Oh, my goodness.
And they were there till 5:30 at night, and I said, Jason, I've never said this to anyone before, but... And they we just pour out their hearts and their struggles, and we noticed after years and years of doing this, there were these patterns, these themes of struggles that particularly the young women were going through, And I just kept thinking, wouldn't it be great just to be able to make a manual, to be able to give a single woman, whether she's 16 or 29, you know, one book that'll basically go through the struggle she has of just like, how do I know which guys to avoid? How do I know when to break up with a guy? How do I, you know, how do I love myself? How do I forgive myself? How do I start over? How do I have standards? How do I have a backbone? Just the bare bones of how to get through the single years with your dignity and your faith and your morality intact. And so we started collecting all this advice that we were giving to girls, my wife and I, and so we've actually published the book as a married couple, targeting single women to help them to stay strong and pure.
Well, I think that's wonderful for them. You know, I think young women, when they hear a guy saying, hey, you know, you're worth waiting for, you know, and why, and kind of giving them just the okay, you know, and I think that's really helpful. And that's why, I mean, I think you are so talented and, you know, blessed by God to be able to give this message, especially then with your wife as well. You make a great duo. But you can give it to guys, the message, and you can give it very effectively to young women. So, I mean, you're covering all the bases, whether you do the talk together, you know, in a co-ed group or, you know, girls alone or guys alone. I think it's what you're saying, the message is very well received.
Yeah, and I thought that's why it was important, you know, just for the book to write it from both a male and female perspective so that we could be able to shift gears from like, hey, you know, from a guy's perspective, when a girl dresses immodestly, you know, this is what it tells us. And then from a girl's perspective, my wife to be able to throw in her two cents on how to, you know, set guidelines on modesty or how to have, you know, hope for the future when you feel like your season of singleness in life is just lasting way too long. So that way we could kind of attack it from both angles.
Well, that sounds great. I wish that somebody would have given me a book like this when I was in college, because I think that would have spared me a lot of suffering with dating the wrong guys.
Yeah, one of the things that we're doing with the book, the exciting little offers, there's a hardcover edition, which will be in like the Barnes & Noble and stuff, but then we're also making a softcover. Yes.
Sorry, we're going to have to head to a quick break. When we return, we will continue our conversation, and so stay tuned to more Life Talk.
The annual Catholic Appeal is underway in parishes across the Archdiocese of Chicago. Your gift to the annual appeal helps sustain Catholic schools, religious education, ministerial formation, and initiatives for life, peace, and justice.
And the appeal serves people worldwide whose lives are devastated by natural disasters, illness, and war.
All funds raised are carefully spent to do God's work. Please make a pledge to the 2011 annual Catholic Appeal.
Your generosity will make a difference in the lives of many.
Join the movement to run the 2011 Bank of America Chicago Marathon on Sunday, October 9th as a pledge runner for Team Catholic Charities. As a member of Team Catholic Charities, you'll be running to help our neighbors in need of food, clothing, and shelter, necessities for everyday survival. To join or sponsor the Catholic Charities Marathon team or committee, call 312-655-7912. That's 312-655-7912. Visit us online at catholiccharities.net/Chicago Marathon. We'll see you at the finish line.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
The faith home of more than 2 million Catholics. During the next half hour, we'll hear about the strategic pastoral plan, a blueprint for evangelization. And we'll talk with Cardinal Francis George about the virtue of love and the key role it plays in the lives of Catholics every day.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Welcome back to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen, Director of the Respect Life Office. We are talking about Jason Everett's upcoming chastity education speaking tour through the Chicagoland area. And it's in under 2 weeks, right, Ray?
That's right, yeah. Coming up very soon.
Jason, Ray wanted to ask you about your recent trip to the Philippines.
Yeah.
I guess you just got back from there?
Yeah, early Monday morning, just got back home.
Oh, wow. So you're still kind of going through the time difference, huh?
Yeah, a little jet lag still happening.
A little jet lag, yeah. I'm actually Filipino, and when I heard that you went there, and I have some friends that was also there, and you probably met them. But it's great that the message of this great message of chastity is also being brought to all the different countries, because it's really needed.
Yeah, no, it was very exciting. We get to try. We do international trips every 3 months.
Oh,
is what
great.
We do in the schedule. So the next one we've got is Australia coming up, and then Spain for World Youth Day, and then South Africa. So it's been really exciting. But the Philippines was neat because the faith of the people out there
right.
is just so extraordinary. I mean, a lot of the churches had 8 or 9 daily masses.
No.
It's on Tuesday, 9 masses at the church, and the Adoration Chapel's packed. And so beautiful people and just wonderful teens out there.
Now, was there like a big event there that was going on? Or
Several different groups came together, so that were big events every day. I mean, most of the audiences were at least 1,000 kids at a time, and then the final talk was about 8,000 high school students. So it was really well organized.
Wow. I mean, that shows that the faith is alive and well, you know. And it might be, you know, we look at our country and we see, well, not everybody goes to church.
Mm-hmm.
So we got our work cut out for us. This is mission territory,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So back to your presentation, when you give, I think we talked a little bit about the teen only, I mean, the girls' presentation and the boys' presentation. What part of your presentation to teen girls really hits home and makes them want to embrace chastity? What's like the key, or are there a bunch of different aspects that reach different girls?
Yeah, one thing Pope John Paul II said is that the virtue of chastity can only be thought of in association with the virtue of love. That chastity makes no sense otherwise. It just seems like just mere abstinence. You know, well, don't have sex. Well, why? Well, you know, you're going to get pregnant, die of an STD, and go to hell. You know, I mean, it'll scare the kids for 15 minutes and back at it.
Yeah.
You know, they need to be given concrete reasons that tell girls, well, hey, do you want to really know if a guy loves you for the right reasons or is just trying to say these words in order to get things from you? Well, practice chastity. You'll be able to weed out the guys that frankly don't deserve you. And a lot of times with the girls, we also emphasize, and with the guys, that it doesn't matter what's happened in the past, you know, what you've done before. What matters is where you go from here, that anybody can start over. And so many girls have just given up hope because maybe something happened to them when they were younger, or they just made some poor decisions, and they figure, well, it's too late for me. And just to have someone to walk in to give them permission to take care of themselves again is all a lot of these girls need.
Wow! Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's usually their comment or remarks after, you know, we give like a chastity presentation to them. Mostly girls, they say, "Yeah, if I live this way, my boyfriend is gonna leave me." And you know, it's really that self worth, I guess. And you're right on that. And they need to hear that.
Yeah, and I tell the girls, you know, if a guy leaves you because you won't do this stuff with him, then thank God.
Yeah.
You know, because the sooner he's out of your life, the better, so that you don't clog up your love life with a guy who doesn't deserve you.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, you know, I remember growing up, you know, I guess I can admit my age here, but I'm 36 years old, and I'd watch Friends and, you know, some other shows like that. And, you know, looking back at it, if you ever see the reruns, oh my goodness, you know, just...
That's what we're surrounded with, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and the Sex in the City, thank God that's off the air, you know, that's done. But they keep making movies, and it's really a depressing way of life. I mean, when you see it, it's these women are really sad.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
it's not a full, you know, happy lifestyle. I mean, there's going to be sadness. You're going to break up. You know, you're going to feel used. And, you know, that's not love. And I think we as women tend to look for love through that sexual act, through being intimate. And that's what society is telling us to do.
Yeah, and I think your insights really bear out of what science is saying as well, but there's more and more medical journals coming out explaining that once a teenage girl becomes sexually active, almost immediately afterwards she becomes depressed because the lifestyle promises her everything and then really gives her nothing.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Ray, can you give us some details about Jason's tour? What are the events that are open to the public still?
Well, we start off with the 2011 Life Night Youth Rally and Mass. That's on Sunday, March 13th. 2011. The door opens at 2:30. Jason, your session will start at 3 p.m. and that's going to be in Our Lady of the Snows. That's in Midway Airport area or nearby there. And again, that's free. The registration is still open if you.
And they can find that on our website.
You guys can find the flyer on our website. And please, we encourage everyone to pre-register so that we can prepare.
And the
properly.
Website is www.respectlifechicago.org. So respectlifechicago.org.
Yes, respectlifechicago.org. And then after that, on a Monday, there's at nighttime, there's a parent session. And it's really important, and I want to kind of talk to you more about this a little bit, about the parents being that the primary teachers and the primary carriers of this message of chastity. So we're going to have that on Monday, March 14th at St. Isaac Jogues Parish. That's in Hinsdale. Again, that'll be also, that flyer's also on our website. And the next day, Tuesday, March 15th, Jason is going to give another presentation to St. Francis Xavier Parish. And we're expecting well over 500 of the youth and some of their parents will be attending that as well. Romance Without Regret.
And so those are all the ones that are open to the public.
That's right.
Okay, wonderful. Well, we're going to head to another break, and when we get back, we're going to rejoin the conversation with Jason Evert. So stay tuned for more Life Talk.
Catholics in Chicago may soon claim a new saint, Father Augustus Toten, the first African-American priest to minister in Chicago. Now you can learn more about this humble man and his life of holiness, perseverance, and service in the face of racism and poverty. A film on the life of Father Toten will be shown on Tuesday, March 1st at 4 p.m. at the Catholic Theological Union in Chicago. The film is part of a week-long celebration of the Augustus Toten Pastoral Ministry Program at CTU, which prepares Black Catholics for professional ministry in Chicago. There is no cost to attend the screening. Go to www.ctu.edu for details. That's www.ctu.edu to learn more about the screening of the film on Father Augustus Toten.
Pope John Paul II is on the fast track to sainthood. One of the major steps is beatification. Now, on May 1st of this year, you can attend the beatification ceremony of Pope John Paul II in St. Peter's Square. A wonderful pilgrimage to Rome, sponsored by the Catholic New World, is being planned at a very reasonable cost. The trip includes the beatification ceremony, a private mass with Cardinal Francis George, and lots of sightseeing, including visits to the Vatican Museum and the Sistine Chapel. Go to the Archdiocesan website at www.archchicago.org and click on Pilgrimage to Rome for all the details. That's www.archchicago.org and click on Pilgrimage to Rome. It's your chance to experience Rome while celebrating the beatification of Pope John Paul II with Catholics from around the world.
Hi, it's Drew Mariani here. Hey guys, are you feeling disconnected? Are you struggling at home or work? Are you looking to ignite your faith again? Then join me and hundreds of other men for the 2011 Chicago Men's Conference on Saturday, March 19th at the Marriott Oakbrook. Joining me will be His Eminence Cardinal Francis George, Sean Forrest, and former New York Giant Chris Godfrey. Plus, you'll hear from other men on how the Holy Spirit has changed their lives. Register now at CatholicMenOfChicago.org. That's CatholicMenOfChicago.org. Hope to see you March 19th. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen, Director of the Respect Life Office, and we are talking with Jason Everett about his upcoming speaking tour on chastity here in the Archdiocese of Chicago. And Jason, you and Ray were kind of talking about the parent presentation. Ray, you wanted to kind of get into that a little deeper.
Well, you know, I would hear, and I want to also hear from Jason and his standpoint on it, because as a chastity, when we give presentations in schools, some of the teachers would vent to me saying that, their parents would just kind of drop them off here in school and hope for the best, and hopefully, you know, they would talk about these other subjects, and they don't want to talk about it at home. And what do you say to that, that kind of message that some of the parents are doing right now? They kind of just leave it to the teachers to teach that stuff, or leave it to us as presenters to talk about those things.
Yeah, the church has always told the parents that they are the primary sex educators.
Right.
It's not the government, not the state, not the school, not the church. It's the parents. Now, the challenge is, you know, when I speak to the parents, I often ask them, now, how many of you, by a show of hands, were given by your parents a clear, adequate, and convincing explanation of the church's teachings on chastity and sexuality? Mm-hmm. And obviously, maybe one out of 300 will actually raise their hands. And so the challenge is that they are now being called to do what was never given to them during a time that
makes
it perhaps more difficult than ever. So what a parent needs to do is get over their insecurities when it comes to talking about the subject. Even if they don't have a perfect pass, they need to speak. In fact, I saw an anti-drug campaign that showed a marijuana leaf, and it told the parents, it said, if you're not telling them no, you're telling them yes. And the same thing goes with sexuality.
Wow.
That's crazy how it is now, and it really needs to be the parents that talk about this. They know their youth better than we do. And another thing too is that one statistic that really caught my eye was that if you ask now, if you ask the parents, you know, how many of them have heard it from their friends and have heard of talked about the topic of sex when they were younger from their friends or their older siblings, but the statistic that I saw was that in the near future, if you ask the kids now when they're at the age of their parents, a lot of them would raise their hand if we ask them the question of if they've heard of sex or that whole thing of sex from the internet. Majority of them would raise their hands because that's what they're researching now. That's what it takes a couple of key searches, and unfortunately, we're surrounded by a really bad culture, the culture of death that's surrounding us. And
when I was first, I think this was like 8 years ago, when Mary Louise was about to start with the Respect Life Office as director, but I was already in the office for a few months, and I heard, she was a big, chastity speaker, abstinence, so I sat there and I Googled chastity. Well, that was my big mistake. and then, you get some really bad results. And I was kind of floored, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I hope I don't get into trouble. So I just closed it down.
Oh my gosh,
It's
that's what we're surrounded with.
Yeah, so they take a good thing. The culture is taking a good thing and making it into a joke and making it dirty, and that's not good. So, but Jason, if you could say one thing to a young man about why he should choose chastity, what would it be?
I would say, what kind of man do you really want to be? A friend of mine just told me, I just heard the other day, he said when his wife, before they got married, she lived a wild life, and she was at a party and drinking a lot, and a guy came up to her and said, hey, you want to go in the back bedroom with me? And she said, oh, sure, and so they start stumbling back there. And a guy jumped in between them and said, hey, look, to get to her, you're going to have to go through me. It was a friend of hers. And the guy's like, all right, whatever, and he backed off. Now, and so what this guy ended up doing is, he laid her down, but she was, like, so inebriated, and he slept at her feet the whole night, basically to say to any other man, if you want to get to her, you're going to have to do it through me.
Wow.
Sticking up for this girl's dignity when she couldn't even see it. And the question I posed to men is, what man you want to be?
Yeah.
Do you want to be the predator or the protector? You want to be this little pimp, or do you want to be a true man of God? And I think we know in our hearts what it means to really defend the dignity of women, especially when they forget their own dignity.
And then, well, that's pretty, yeah. that's good, because you have, you know, we got to teach our parents and our educators too about this. Like, what are some quick things, if you had only one thing that you could say to a young man or to a young woman, you know, what would that be? And, you know, what you just said, I think was pretty profound, yeah. Pretty powerful there. And then for parents, you know, what would you, you know, what kind of advice would you give them? What would be something like a quick response, you know, to a young, you know, to one of their sons or daughters who might be getting in the mix, you know, and getting into this?
Yeah, I think the kids need a lot of physical affirmation at home and a lot of verbal affirmation at home. Make sure you're praising your kids at least as twice as often as you're criticizing them. Even if you have 10 times as many reasons to criticize, you praise them. And then lastly, internet safety. You got to put a filter on that computer. You got to learn to check the history files. You got to put that computer in a high traffic area. I mean, the average age at which a boy is first exposed to porn is somewhere between 8 and 11 years old.
Wow.
And parents need to be on the proactive end of being able to protect their kids, or otherwise your kid's going to be seeing this junk. If you give that kid like a 3G internet smartphone, you just put porn in his pocket if you don't know how to filter that stuff out.
Wow, and they probably don't.
Yeah. No, and so they need to talk to their cell phone providers and be on, you know, be on the active, be able to protect their kids from all this garbage.
Well, thank you, Jason,
so much,
for being with us this morning, and we are so looking forward to having you out here in Chicago.
We'll see you soon.
And so God bless you for your ministry and safe travels.
Thank you, and we'd ask all your listeners to please pray for all the students we'll be speaking to.
We'll do.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Well, we're going to head to a quick break, and when we return, we're going to talk about that special seminar at Resurrection Hospital to help folks in health care and mental health care learn how to help those who are post-abortive, who have experienced abortion loss. This is one you won't want to miss, so stay tuned to Life Talk.
Catholic teens and young adults are preparing for World Youth Day 2011 in Madrid, Spain. The Archdiocese is sponsoring an exciting and inspirational 9-day trip for this coming August.
World Youth Day is a week-long spiritual journey during which teens and young adults from around the world unite to share their faith.
The Archdiocese organized trip to Madrid will include daily mass, catechesis, festivals, walking tours, and all the events scheduled with the Holy Father Pope Benedict the 16th.
That includes a welcoming ceremony, an evening candlelight vigil, and the closing mass. And for young people not going to Madrid, there's a wonderful World Youth Day celebration planned at Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine in Des Plaines.
The regional event will bring together young Catholics from Illinois, Indiana, and Wisconsin. There will even be a giant TV hookup so you can pray along with the Pope during the closing mass in Madrid.
Go to the Archdiocese website, www.archchicago.org, and click on World Youth Day. You'll find information regarding travel to Madrid, our local festivities, and a link to the official World Youth Day website.
Plan now. Be part of this inspirational and memorable celebration of our faith.
World Youth Day 2011.
Catholic Charities West Region invites you to its annual St. Patrick's Day party Thursday, March 10th from 6:30 to 9:30. Enjoy hearty Irish fare and entertainment by the McNulty Dancers, Shannon Rovers, and Tributosaurus Trio at Fitzgerald's in Berwyn. Tickets are $50 in advance or $60 after March 1st. All proceeds benefit Catholic Charities Transitional Housing Program. For tickets or information, call 708-329-4022 or visit catholiccharities.net/stpats.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen, Director of the Respect Life Office for the Archdiocese of Chicago. And we are now into our second half of the show, where we're going to talk with Vicki Thorne, founder of Project Rachel and Executive Director of the National Office for Post-Abortion Reconciliation and Healing, and Erica Latham, Director of Clinical Ethics for Resurrection Healthcare. And now I'd like to welcome Vicki and Erica to the show. Welcome.
Thank you, Marty.
Thank you.
Wonderful to have you. I'm really excited about our upcoming event on March 8th at Resurrection Hospital on the Northwest Side. We have a great opportunity here today to, it's a short opportunity, but we will try to do our best to share with our listeners here about this opportunity for folks to become more educated on this topic of post-abortion aftermath. Now, I'd like to start with Erica. Erica, you're the Director of Clinical Ethics for Resurrection Healthcare. Wow, that that seems like a very weighty job, a heavy job there. But you came to me with this idea of hosting this seminar, and it's entitled "Caring for Those Who Have Experienced Abortion Loss: An In-Depth Review." What inspired you to contact me to co-sponsor the event?
Well, Margie, there were a number of reasons. One is just the sheer number of women and men who have experienced abortion loss. The Guttmacher Institute, which is the research arm of Planned Parenthood, estimates in the United States, one in three women will have experienced abortion loss by the age of 45. That's a third of our population, and a very significant number of the patients that we serve within Resurrection Healthcare. Resurrection Healthcare doesn't carry out procured abortions, but we do recognize that many of those for whom we care have had a history of abortion loss. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, as our healthcare providers have seen, this is an experience that can affect a woman later in life, and it can affect men as well. So, for example, when a woman is giving birth or raising children, even when she's undergoing surgery or facing death. So the educational sessions that we've set up together are aimed at helping healthcare providers to navigate through some of these more sensitive topics. Part of our mission at Resurrection Healthcare is to make God's love manifest through compassionate family-centered care. And as a Catholic healthcare institution, we follow what are known as the ethical and religious directives for Catholic healthcare services. One of those directives is that Catholic healthcare providers should be ready to offer compassionate physical, psychological, moral, and spiritual care to those who have suffered from the trauma of abortion. So we thought it was only fitting that we would invite the world's expert in this area, Vicki Thorne, to come and talk to our own healthcare professionals about ways that they can better care for people who have a history of abortion loss, to give them a bit of language that they can use as they're talking with patients about some of these very, very sensitive and taboo areas.
Well, we are very privileged to co-sponsor this event with you that will be taking place on March 8th from 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. And what is so special about March 8th?
Well, March 8th is also the International Day for Women.
Well, it sounds like an appropriate day, and I don't know, did we pick this one? Did you choose it because of International Women's Day, or was it just a day that fit for all of us?
I chose it specifically because it was the International Day
for
good.
Women. Oh, you're good. You are good. You know, and that's why you get paid the big bucks. I'm kidding.
If only.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah, we're all in ministry in a way, you know. We all work for non-profits, so that means our profits are low.
That's right. We're storing up our treasures in heaven.
For
Marty.
Heaven, yes, yes. But I thank you for you know, going out, stepping forward to provide this for healthcare professionals and mental health professionals for Resurrection and opening it up to the public. And so I'm really grateful about that. Now, Vicki. You are, you know, you come out here to Chicago quite often, or to the Chicagoland area, and, you know, you give talks to our priests, mostly, and to train them on how to assist women through their healing journey. But what is it that you hope to get across to this audience in this seminar?
Well, I think, you know, I'm just so delighted that we're doing this in this kind of a scope. So many women of every age, abortion didn't just start with Roe v. Wade, and we have to remember that. There are very elderly women who had abortions in World War I, World War II, and the Depression. We just weren't talking about them. That those who provide mental health care and physical care for those that are ill have such an opportunity to be present to someone. And many times this medical issue, we'll talk about that for a minute, sets off all these old memories. And I'm facing perhaps death, I'm facing perhaps serious surgery, maybe I'm looking at a chronic condition, and this knowledge of this abortion is still there. And one of the points I want to make is that, you know, we say it's just like having your appendix out. Well, I don't grieve when I have my appendix out. So we say, well, why would a woman have a problem after an abortion? Well, there's some very significant research on the fact that women carry cells from every child they ever conceive the rest of their lives, and they may be present in her body and circulating in her body as early as 5 weeks post-conception. This is called human microchimerism. She has a biological memory, a biological knowledge of the child that was lost, and it can come up at any point in her life. And the same is true in terms of men. You know, we don't even think about men, though we've done two conferences, one there in Chicago and one in San Francisco on men dealing with abortion. We're like, well, why would they be bothered? Well, they're bothered because there is a very early communication by these scent hormones called pheromones between the father and the mother, and he recognizes there's a pregnancy. And as many as 80% of men will have symptoms with their partner that's set off by this biological knowledge. So everybody in this loop is touched in a very significant way. And again, mental health professionals many times see women and men coming with symptoms, and they don't always make that link back to what happened. Could be depression, could be suicidal thoughts, could be eating disorders. For the men, it could be, again, chemical dependency, could be sexual addiction, risk-taking behavior, and we don't think to ask the question. Mm-hmm. And the gentle question is, have you ever been involved in a pregnancy loss of any kind, like a miscarriage, a stillbirth, an ectopic pregnancy, or an abortion? And with that simple question, we've now framed for them why this loss would be significant.
Well, that's definitely important. And we're going to head to a quick break. And when we return, we will continue in this important discussion. So stay tuned to more Life Talk.
Hello, I'm Lisa Paletto, the director of the Catholic Charities Junior Board, and this is the Junior Board Mission Minute, 60 seconds of the latest and greatest updates on events and opportunities for you to get involved. Help us raise dollars for our veterans living at Cook's Manor. A Winter's Night fundraiser will take place on February 23rd. At 5 o'clock p.m., we will meet for drinks at Elephant and Castle on Wabash, and then head to Millennium Park for ice skating. Join us at our Faith Committee meeting on March 2nd and help us plan upcoming speakers in the series Faith in the Real World, which premiered in February and will feature one speaker every month until June. The Social Committee also meets in March on the 14th to plan upcoming social fundraising events. Volunteer to spend some time with the senior citizens at Ozanam Village on Sunday, March 6th. Come out for emergency assistance food packing on the first and third Tuesday of the month at 6 p.m. or join us for our Read to Me program that reads to kids in one of our shelters every Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. There's always a way to help your neighbor at Catholic Charities. Consider joining our junior board. For more information on these events and others, call 312-655-7932 or visit catholiccharities.net. And of course, stay tuned for the next Junior Board Mission Minute.
This Lenten season, join millions of Catholics throughout the U.S. in a 30-year tradition within the Catholic Church. Catholic Relief Services' Operation Rice Bowl program. Lent isn't just about giving something up, it's also about doing something positive. Operation Rice Bowl provides a way to embrace traditional themes of Lent through praying with others, fasting, and giving alms while learning about our global community. Celebrate the holy season of Lent by becoming a part of the Operation Rice Bowl community today. Visit www.crs.org to learn more.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Welcome back to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen, Director of the Respect Life Office, and I'm joined by Vicki Thorne and Erica Latham. And I want to continue the conversation with Vicki, but Erica, I wanted you to just give us the details about the event, the who, what, when, where, why, how.
I'd be happy to, Margie. So again, the title of the program is Caring for Those Who Have Experienced Abortion Loss, an In-Depth Overview, and it's going to be taking place next Tuesday, March 8th, from 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. It's going to be taking place in the Marion Conference Center at Resurrection Medical Center, and that's located at 7435 West Telka Avenue in Chicago, Illinois. Now, there is a reservation required. We would ask for that reservation by this Friday, March 4th. If you are interested in registering, please call 773-792-8752. Again, that number is 773-792-8752. There's a cost of just $15, mainly to cover some basic expenses like lunch. And for those of you who are listening who are physicians or nurses or social workers or some other kind of healthcare staff that would be considered ancillary staff, there are continuing education credits available. So physicians can get CMEs, RNs can get CEUs, and ancillary staff can get CEs for attending. So you can count this towards your continuing education credits again. Again, the phone number to call is 773-792-8752.
Wonderful. Thank you, Erica. Now, Vicki, back to you. I really want to get into more detail. You're just a font of information. We could probably talk about all this stuff for hours here on the radio and still just be scratching the surface. But you know, one thing, you know, the Cardinal, he wrote a letter to the priest back in January to basically encourage them to preach about Respect Life issues and Project Rachel, post-abortion healing, around the Roe v. Wade anniversary. And something happened where we're getting many more calls, and I think the priest actually listened, you know? Mm-hmm. And yeah. I mean, that's phenomenal that they're preaching about it. It's going in the bulletin. It's in the back of church, you know, the flyers. And we're getting calls from 70, you know, 80-year-old women who have been holding this inside and not dealing with the pain for a very long time, have gone to confession like 20 times or more, you know, confessing the same sin over and over again. You know, what's going on, you know, with those women? I mean, how can they hold that in? I mean, I know if I have something that's on me, I want to get help. I want to get healed immediately. And I don't know if that's like the younger generation. We're so used to psychology therapy and it's not as taboo. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's part of it, Margie. The very old woman, and really the oldest woman I knew, was someone I knew rather well. And the story unfolded at the time I started the national office, and she had had an abortion in World War II, been to confession, done some of her healing with another woman. They'd found each other. But, you know, it was interesting, when she was preparing to die, she called me and said, "Vicki, I need to see a Project Rachel priest." And I said, "Okay." You know, she said, "Can he come to my house?" And I said, "Sure, what's up?" And she said, "You know, I'm elderly. I can't say to my children, who are, you know, middle-aged plus, I need to go to confession. I need to see a priest, because they'll say to me, 'You're old. What could you possibly have done that requires you to go to confession?'" Mm. And she said, "I don't want to talk about it. I'm not, you know." And I think that that's part of it. For the very old woman, there was an enormous amount of shame. They went to confession. but they're still carrying that other pain, and they were not so therapeutically inclined. There was shame in seeing a therapist, mm-hmm. and you had to explain it to someone, you know, your husband, to someone else. So they didn't know where to go to seek the help. When the priests preach about it, it's the good news, and it's really the invitation. You know, in April of 2008, there was a conference in Rome on the wounds of the adult children of, or well, children of divorce and abortion. Mm-hmm. And Pope Benedict issued this incredible document where he talks about the fact that we have an obligation to be the good Samaritan who seeks out the wounded and brings them to the church. And that's what was going on in response, I think, to the cardinal's letter to the priests. They are reaching out and bringing people to the ministry that's there to help them to heal.
Now, I know we talk about women a lot, but Ray here, you know, who is our youth outreach coordinator, he's still in the studio with me, and he was asking at the break about, you know, the issue with men. And Ray, go ahead.
Yeah, I this is a really interesting topic to discuss, and I was just wondering, is there an increase in the number of men seeking for help with their experience of abortion loss?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. It's very interesting. We have a website that we put up after the two men's conferences, and it's spelled out menandabortion.info. That website receives over 1,000 hits a month from over 60 countries consistently. It's not advertised anyplace.
Wow.
You know, tells me there's a tipping point that we've reached, that men now know it's okay to look. I mean, you go online and there's not much about men and abortion, all right, other than keep your, you know, mind your own business and don't talk to us about it.
Yeah.
But in terms of help, there's not much out there. But the fact that people from all these countries and all these languages are finding their way there tells me that there's this incredible need. You know, if we've got, what, 50 million women plus, we've got 50 million men plus.
Right.
And they're really, really in hiding because they don't know that there's help and they don't know why they feel so badly. And so, you know, this is just, we're just on the cutting edge of that. But I really think that we're at a tipping point now where more and more men realizing there's help are going to come for help.
Well, Vicki, we have to head to another break. We have a lot of sponsors, I guess.
Yeah, well, that's good news.
Yeah, but I don't think they pay.
Oh, okay, well.
I'm kidding. We're a nonprofit.
I know.
Well, yeah, we're going to head to a quick break, and when we return, we'll continue our conversation with Vicki Thorne and Erica Latham about post-abortion aftermath.
Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Each night, thousands of families face homelessness in Chicago. Those families aren't just statistics. They're your neighbors, your friends. They could even be part of your own family.
I had lost my job, so I wasn't working, and I had run out of all my savings, so I ended up losing my apartment. And I went to stay with my sister, but she's got this small little itty-bitty condo, so we were all sleeping on the floor. So I started calling around for the housings and everything, and they told me to call Catholic Charities, and it just happened when I got through, Joanne answered the phone, and she goes, "You know, you got me just at the right time. We're actually doing interviews right now. You want to come in?" And she gave me the whole rundown of everything and how the program works and everything. She goes, "Is this something you can do?" And I looked at her and says, "You're offering me a roof over my head, something more than I've got right now. And I'm willing to do anything to keep that roof over my head."
Catholic Charities of Chicago is there to provide a helping hand to the homeless. Find out how to help us help the most needy. Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Welcome back to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen from the Respect Life office, and I'm joined again with Vicki Thorne and Erica Latham, and Ray Pingoy is in studio. He's our youth outreach coordinator, and he gives a lot of chastity talks. So, I think he's going to be at this seminar, Vicki, so I really want him to get the information, so that'll help him in his work, giving these presentations to the young people. So I'm grateful that you are coming to share your knowledge with us.
I'm excited. It'll be a great opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
The more people who understand, the better. Just this week, there was a comment from Pope Benedict about the fact that, healthcare personnel in particular and society as a whole really should be helping women to resist the pressures of abortions. But I have to say that we also have to help the men to be able to support the women,
mm-hmm.
because they're really told, you have to be quiet. You it's a woman's choice. You can't say anything. And so, mm-hmm. In Ray's position, he's in a position where he can also empower young men to take that responsibility, hopefully not to have to deal with a pregnancy, but if there is one, to be able to really support this woman who's faced with this crisis at the moment.
Now, Vicki, Erica was telling me yesterday on the phone. Now, Erica, you were talking to me about the program that you have at Resurrection for those who are in need of help, who are pregnant. What's the program there?
Yes, we were talking about the New Beginnings program mm-hmm. In Resurrection Healthcare. This is a program that offers assistance to women who are pregnant. It's a healthy start for moms to be, you could say. There's a bilingual staff. We would provide an initial exam and routine office visits, labs, ultrasounds, nutrition counseling, childbirth, infant care, parenting, and breastfeeding classes. It's open to all people, in particular those who would be unable to pay otherwise. We serve a lot of Medicaid patients, a lot of women who are on public aid.
Well, that's awesome.
That's phenomenal. Yeah, and just to, you're really putting your mission into action, your faith into action. Vicki, if there was something that you could say to, folks out there who might encounter, someone who is post-abortive and who is suffering, what would you tell them to say to that person? How should they talk to someone who's had an abortion, or maybe a friend or a family member?
Well, there's a lot of pieces. If they know about it, it's one thing. If they've heard about it through some other means, it's another thing. But I think always to tell people that there's care, that there's a ministry available, that we always have to reach out with love and compassion. Sometimes we speak almost too strongly, and we forget about the walking wounded who are in our midst. But the message is that there's hope, there's healing, there's compassionate care available. That the prophetic prophetic message of the church is that abortion's not good for women, men, or children. And people go, oh well, the church can never forgive me. But in fact, the church is in the forefront of leading this care because our prophetic message matches our pastoral care. And so it's really, again, telling people there's help available in whatever way we can. It might be a direct thing. It might be a comment. I heard this show on the radio, and I didn't know that there was this ministry called Project Rachel for women and men who've been involved in abortions. Just a bit of information. I'd share the same thing if I saw a theater review. But it's a way to communicate to people the good news. And really, that's what we're all called to do, is to talk about this mercy and the healing that's possible. John Paul II really believed that, the cornerstones of the culture of life were going to be built on those that are healed after abortion. Section 99 of the Gospel of Life is very, very, very beautiful.
I got to tell you, in one of our last support groups, two of the women one first started this. She said, why, when she heard about this, she read the Gospel of Life, number 99, what you just said. How come we didn't know about this? How come, it wasn't covered in the news, and why didn't the church promote this? And I'm like, yeah, well, the media is not going to cover this, I mean, Definitely. I mean, she's like, I could have been healed by now. That was
the other thing is they did talk about it, but you also have to be ready to heal it, to hear it. You know, that's the other thing. I have to be ready to undertake this journey. And if I'm not, I don't hear it. It goes right past me.
Yeah.
But it's something that we have to keep talking about. That's why I say this, you know, just always putting this promise of mercy out there when we talk about the church's prophetic teaching on abortion. It's always those two have to go hand in hand.
Yes, and it's a perfect time of the year for that. We're just going to start Lent, and then with Divine Mercy Sunday on, what is that, May 1st, where Pope John Paul II will be beatified. That's pretty cool. You know, and the whole thing with Divine Mercy, that, you know, God is, his mercy is, like, is infinite. And you just have to go to him, you know. I mean, you just have to ask and have a relationship with him. You know, it's going to be, the healing will be so amazing, but they just have to ask, you know.
Well, and you know, I also say to people, this is sort of a thing that I realized a couple of years ago. We also need to give God permission to heal us, because, you know, we want to be healed, but we're our own worst enemies. We judge ourselves so harshly. And I invite people just to say a little prayer that is, God, I give you permission to heal me. And that's like opening the door of that, you know, the picture of Jesus knocking at the door and there's no doorknob. That prayer really opens that door.
Well,
it makes a difference.
Thank you, Vicki and Erica, and thank you for being with us. We're out of time. May God bless your work, and Vicki, safe travels as you come down to Chicago.
Thank you. Thank you.
I know it's not that far away, but still, be safe. And God bless you both. And we look forward to this special event at Resurrection Medical Center. Again, that's March 8th, 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. And you can go to respectlifechicago.org for more information as well. We have the flyer up there. And it's only $15. And then if you want to go to the Chastity Jason Everett tour, join us, 534-5355. That's area code 312. Thank you for tuning into Life Talk, and tune in next month for some more life issues.